club football, he pisses all over him. So
yeah. It's just Messi. We all know what Messi can do.
A lot of flair, a lot of skill.
People might forget the names, but the streets certainly won't. Hello, people, and welcome back to another episode of the FT LOL podcast. We've done a few Premier League themed episodes before. We've looked at the centre mids. We've looked at strike partnerships. But on this one, we're looking into a position where many say is the easiest to play on the pitch. But as someone that played there previously, I've got to disagree with that. And it's fullbacks. And we'll be looking at the top 10 Premier League fullbacks of all time. And we're joined by Jordan.
Hello.
Hello. And we're joined by friend of the pod, Dylan. How are you doing, boys?
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, all no good, problem. Man. I was going to interject there. I can't believe you said you're a fullback. You was barely on the pitch, mate. I don't know what you was doing when we were playing 11 aside.
That is, I'm going to have you for defamation of character there. I was captain until I couldn't be bothered to wear the armband.
They gave it for sympathy, let's be honest.
Possibly, I don't know. But I was put there initially as a punishment, wasn't it, in training. Starting up front, obviously wasn't scoring enough goals. And because of what I did in training, they put me in at the back. But it seemed to work.
To be fair, I think that's one of your key, you know, when you play with you, you're dogged in that aspect. You do keep going at people's legs. That was one of the best bits about you in terms of playing football with you. But yeah, I don't know how you'd fare in the modern game. That's for sure. Bombing up and down that wing. I'll probably be more suited to the wing backs now than you.
Yeah, it's a lot different, isn't it? Now the full back role.
Yeah. You were definitely a traditional full back. But yeah, to be fair, good work at that.
Yeah. Dylan, how about you? Where did you play on the pitch?
I was a left back as well, mate. I was a left back. I like to think I'd be all right in the modern day. I did like to go forward, I must admit.
Lefty, you're left footed?
Left footed, yeah.
Rare breed.
I know, mate. I know. Special. That's why I said I like to get up top.
That's good, mate. That's good. We needed one of them in our team, didn't we, back in the day?
Yeah. Yeah, we that's another thing as well with left footers. You get an extra 10 million on some players just because they're left footed these days.
True, that's very true.
That's it. And I don't know how many left footers we're going to have in the top 10. But, Jack, yeah, go through it. I mean, just give a brief synopsis of what these top 10 are about.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've done a few of these sort of positional ones before, but yeah, we're sort of talking the whole Premier League from 92 and yeah, just ranking the best fullbacks basically in that time. See, people have got different ways of ranking. We saw from our Pat and Evan episode a couple of weeks ago that some take it kind of based on you know, how good they were in their prime, even if it was a very short spell. And then you can take it longevity if you want. So yeah, interested to see Dylan's list. On this one, me and Jordan have come with a joint list with some picks I think the listeners maybe won't be happy with, but we'll see. Yeah, how did you guys find it in coming up with the 10?
It was tough. It was really tough, to be honest with you. I'll start off by saying that my list is full of players from my era, so kind of ones I remember watching. So, like you said, the listeners might not be happy, but there's some big names missing on my list purely because I didn't get to see them in my prime and I didn't really feel like it was right to add them if I didn't watch them.
Yeah, that's fair. Although, to be honest, I'd say a lot of our list as well is the more modern ones because, I said at the start about, you know, the easiest position on the pitch to play, and it probably was in the 90s, whereas now you're looking at Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, they all really play through their fullbacks. So I guess naturally they are going to be better footballers than kind of most of the United's players that typically play 4-4-2 as well. So they didn't have to do as much attacking and stuff. So yeah, no, that's fair. A lot of people do the same, Dylan, as you. Like they'll just sort of kind of stick to what they've seen in their prime. But I think for this one, even with limiting yourself to that, you're probably going to cover off pretty much all the big hitters anyway.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, so before we get into the list, Dylan, did you have any honourable mentions?
Yeah, so a big one, to be honest with you, and this might be controversial, but I didn't put Gary Neville in, and that was purely because I feel like I missed his prime. I caught Gary at the very end of his career, and although you hear a lot, you see everything he won. I just didn't see it in my time. I didn't see his prime, unfortunately. So again, might be controversial, but he's missed out on my top 10.
Yeah, what I would say about him is, I reckon by the time a lot of these current fullbacks do retire, they're going to have overtaken him. So he is in ours, but there's a lot of ones that the way they've started in their first sort of 2 or 3 years in the Prem, I think if they keep it up, yeah, Neville's going to be a lot lower down than probably would have been like 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, good point.
Okay.
For us, was Lauren? Lauren, is that
yeah,
did I say it properly, or Lauren?
Lauren. I mean, there was quite a few, actually. I'm trying to think of... I mean,
they were basically Arsenal, weren't they?
Yeah.
Second half.
We've never... Fullbacks have never been the most important, anywhere near the most important sort of players on the pitch. We've had quite a lot of good fullbacks, but yeah, I'd say we've never particularly had the best fullback in the league for a long period. So yeah, I'll throw one out there as well that isn't on our list, but I think he will be he's one of these that I think if he carries on going, he'll do really well, is João Cancelo.
Yeah.
One that missed out for me, actually.
He's a shout. I just don't know if he's going to carry on. Just the way, this is not my personal opinion, but just the way City get rid of that side, like, I don't know how many left-backs or left-wing-backs they've gone through, but he seems to be doing all right since last year he joined?
He started really kicking on last year, yeah. I think he joined a couple of years, but yeah, he's been playing left-back and he sometimes plays right back. He technically is a right back, but Kyle Walker's there, so he tends to play all the games, which is rare for a City defender anyway.
I'll tell you one ex-City player that will definitely not be in this list, who Arsenal fans will just bang on about being the best player in the world. That's Zinchenko. I don't get the hype with him. That's for another story. Another day.
Yeah, that's for another day.
Yeah. All right, then. We'll kick off then. Dylan, what's your number 10?
For my number 10, I've gone Mr. Leighton Baines. I feel like...
I
feel like it was a great shout. I think over 400 games in the Premier League. He just did so much for Everton. Got into the PFA Team of the Year, 11, 12 and 12 and 13. I just think on his day, it was just unreal and so important for Everton. I just thought he had to be in the list.
Yeah, that's a shout. And he's a proper leader as well. That he carried that Everton team for years, I suppose, didn't he?
Yeah, he dragged him to an FA Cup final, I would say. The one against Chelsea. I can't remember the year now. But, like you said, massive player. Great captain, I thought. Had to make it in.
Yeah. How did we miss that as an honourable mention?
No, I think we had so many. He was definitely up there with being on the cusp. He was always linked. I remember him always being linked with Man United, but he never sort of moved on. And yeah, maybe if he did, people might have thought of him a bit higher. But yeah, he was one of the first kind of attacking fullbacks, or from what I remember. Although he did get a lot of goals and assists and stuff from set pieces, so maybe he was more not necessarily bombing down the wing the whole game, but yeah, he hit his numbers. He was one of the first fullbacks to hit those sort of numbers, really, that we're seeing a lot now.
Yeah, 100%. Because, like, even you said with set pieces, if I'm not mistaken, I think he only missed 3 penalties. So he had, like, an over 89% success rate for penalties. So just that alone is pretty good for a fullback.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah, that's a shout. I don't know why it rang a bell, but what's the ex-Leeds one, Jack? Used to take free kicks as well.
Ian Hart.
Was he left back? Hart?
Yeah, he was left back, yeah.
That might have been a shout as well. But they're kind of similar in that aspect, aren't they? Him and Baines. Yeah, that's a shout. Right, our number 10.
To be honest,
for me it's controversial that he's even in the top 10. For you, you want to put him higher, isn't it?
Mm.
So, Trent. Alexander-Arnold.
Okay.
Yeah, I suppose you better give the reason to big him up. I'll put him down.
Well, I mean, they play so much through him, Liverpool. And, yeah, on the ball, he's probably the best fullback in the league. And, yeah, maybe the best that we've seen in the Prem. But we've seen a lot already this season. On the actual defensive side, he is not anywhere near the best. He's below average, really. And teams do target him. But, yeah, I think the good outweighs the bad, because some of the games he has is just ridiculous. He's had some of the best fullback performances I've ever seen. But even though I do rate him really highly, I wouldn't have put him much higher than this, to be honest, because I do like a fullback that can do both jobs. So, yeah, I don't think it's fair to put him so much higher. But, yeah, I would have, probably if it was just up to me, I would have put him a bit higher. Some of the stuff he can do with the ball is ridiculous.
Because originally, I think you had him over someone that we've got eighth now.
Yeah. Which,
yeah, I just find mad. But Trent, for me, you're right. He has... That right wing back position, he made it his own for that season. They won the Prem, and even the season before it.
It's right back, isn't it? Because I don't think he can do a job at right wing back, really. I don't think he couldn't do that, because he crosses from quite deep and sort of the diagonals and his passes and stuff.
Well, yeah, because right wing back, he's not getting back. He gets done all the time over the top, the long balls over the top. And I think you're right when you say defensive positioning is not nowhere near, like, he wouldn't be in top 15, maybe. Like, honestly, he's that poor, I think, at defending. He reminds me of a centre mid playing right back position or right wing back position. And funny we say that, because Loftus-Cheek is doing that for us at the moment. He's doing a decent job, but I think the things that takes him through to this for 10th for me is his delivery of the ball. I think is the best, or if you know, I think it is the best. Maybe Reece James is probably on par, and his ability to take set pieces as well. I think he's he's stepped up and led at a young age. I don't know how old is he now? 24, 23?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so I mean, he's still got years ahead of him. My worry with him, I think, when you said earlier on in the podcast that some of these players will overtake, like the likes of Gary Neville, etc., I think you're right, but I think Trent is one of those ones where, you know, he peaked too early, and I think it's going to get into his head, especially with all the media around him. And you know, if Liverpool do go for a dip, and you know, in about 3 years' time, when Klopp's not about, would he be the same defender that we've seen for the past 2 years? I don't know. I can't see that happening. But I don't see him having that mentality. But I might be wrong. So yeah, but yeah, he's worthy of 10th for me. Just
so Dylan, who do you have at number 9?
Number 9, it was actually one of your honourable mentions. I put Lauren in.
Okay.
I just think invincible. I just think it's very hard not to include him, to be honest with you. I don't think he was technically one of the best. I don't think, you know, there's a lot of people like you, you haven't even got him in the top 10, but I just think he was just solid. And to be, you know, to go the whole season unbeaten, your defence has to be unreal. And he was a staple. So, yeah, Fort Lauren, 9 for me.
Yeah, I think solid is a really good description of him because he was just tough, hard to beat. And he actually started off in midfield, like when we signed him. He's a midfielder, but you'd never think it really, like just the way that he plays.
Yeah.
He wasn't that flashy, but he was a very important part of that Invincibles team, really. Like, I mean, it wasn't the most important. There was the core of like Henry, Vieira, Campbell and stuff. But yeah, if we had a subpar right back in there, then we wouldn't have gone the league unbeaten, that's for sure. Yeah, that's a really good shout. And yeah, that's why we had him as an honourable mention as well, I suppose. He was another one that I think he won something at Portsmouth as well, didn't he? He won the FA Cup when he went there.
I think
how many games he played, but he was in that team.
Right, so what's our number 9, Jack?
Our number 9, Dylan will probably like this, being a Chelsea fan, or maybe not. He's got him higher. Branislav Ivanovic.
Great player. Absolutely love Ivanovic.
Is he higher on your list?
He is in my top 10. He is higher, yeah.
Yeah, see, for me, Ivanovic, he absolutely solid player. I don't know. It was only, was it Cotney season? He just, all of a sudden, not Cotney season, it must have been before that, but there's a few seasons where he just popped out and all of a sudden became this absolute beast. Like when he first started, it was a bit hit and miss, and then I don't know what season it was, but all of a sudden just became like a full-on like leader in that dressing room. Like there's stories, I think Jose said, like he, one game he was like had a broken ankle or something. He's like, his boot was full of blood or something along those lines and just carried on playing. Like he was an absolute terror. Like he'd go through your quality at heading, like he'll get a goal or two. The things that stick in my head is the Champions League.
Liverpool,
yeah. And Napoli as well. Where he scored those two. Yeah. I mean, an absolute legend, man. He's a legend for Chelsea, but I mean, in terms of the Premier League, you know, he's done his bit as well. He scored that goal against Man City from outside the box. It's hard because if you were to say Ivanovic did the same job as, I suppose, or, you know, was trying to do the same job as like your Reece Jameses or Trents of nowadays, you'd think there's no way someone of his structure, like the size of the bloke, the build of him, there's no way you'd say he'd get up and play, score goals. But he did. He got up there and got his fair share. And, you know, I loved him. It was quality for Chelsea. It's only because someone else on our list, or a couple of others on our list, that he's not in the actual, you know, it wasn't in a Chelsea squad longer. But it just shows the quality that Chelsea have had in terms of wing-backs over the years. But Ivanovic, what a quality player. So, yeah, it could be debated that he could be higher, 100%. But, yeah, quality player.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's criminally underrated for me. I think he started as a centre-back, and like you said, maybe because of his build, I think people kind of snub him in terms of full-backs, you know, when they think of, like, top 10. But like you said, he got goals and assists. I think he was 22 goals in the Prem and 20 assists, something like that. And, you know, to be playing in a back four, a defensive team like Chelsea, you know, in their prime, and like you said, someone with that build to get those goals at right back, it's nothing to be sneezed at. So, no, I 100% agree.
His engine was ridiculous, weren't it? Like, there wasn't there wasn't many that could run as much as Ivanovic could run, which is even, keep talking about his size, but it's just not normal what he could do for his size.
The only thing is he had that Gary Cahill-ness about him where he can only run in straight lines, if that makes sense. Pro Evo. Like he couldn't turn. That's the only thing about him. He didn't have the agility about him, but he was still a quality player.
Do you reckon he'd be a fullback if he was in the Chelsea team today? Or Jeff?
Well, yeah. It weren't long ago before he was in West Brom's team, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, was that about a year or two ago? When was West Brom in the Premier League? I don't know, about 2 years ago.
What, under Big Sam?
No, he was played literally recently. It must have been about 38 or something.
Years ago when we got Thiago Silva, because it was the game, I think it was 3-3.
Oh, yeah, got back.
He did a sprint and pulled his hammy.
So Silva was in the squad. So he was about then. Yeah, I mean, if he was in the team now, do you think he would overtake Trent? Not Trent. James, you say?
No, he'd go centre-back for me. He was, for me, Ivanovic was a right back, not a right wing back, and I don't think he would be able to do it as a wing back personally.
Not nowadays. Definitely not. It'd fit. Do you know, it'd be perfect at right centre back position if he was still at his peak nowadays.
100%. We're looking for one as well, so bring him back.
Bring back the old Branislav. Right. So what's the next one, Jack? Eight. We in eight?
Dylan's eight.
Yeah, number eight, I've gone to Pablo Zabaleta. Unreal. And City, if anything, I wanted to put him a little bit higher. I think I'm probably doing a bit of a disservice. But, yeah, Zabaleta, I put him my number eight.
Yeah, we haven't got him in, but City
fans... How the fuck do we forget that as well?
City fans rave about him. No, I'm sure he would have been mentioned. There was so many near the bottom of that list. But I think City fans probably have him as their best fullback, but I don't know.
He won all English major honours, and I think they won it. He got in the team of the year. I just thought he's great. I just thought, like you said, as a City fan, you're probably putting him top two, top three, 100%.
Yeah, because he'd done it at West Ham, didn't he, as well? He went.
Yeah.
And he weren't. I think we've done a misjustice, I think, on not putting him in our top 10, personally, because he was a solid centre back. Right back. And he's probably the same ilk as Branislav Ivanovic, isn't he, really?
100%.
Jack might have done a boo boo there, but that's
why. He doesn't look like a footballer, does he? Like, I think that's. I think people underrate him just because of that. Like, he looks, and he's not particularly fast or strong or anything like that, but he was very clever, which is probably why he played so long under like Mancini and Pellegrini and stuff. I mean, he didn't play that long under Pep, but he was just good in the one-on-ones, really.
He must have been captain as well. I'm sure he was.
He was, yeah. I think when Company left, or am I making that up?
I think he must have been, because
he was at West Ham. He might have been the captain at West Ham. Because Rice didn't get it straight away. He might have thinking of that.
Maybe, but he definitely was a leadership figure. Yeah, it's a shout. A decent shout, to be fair. Right, our number eight, Jack. We have...
Reece James.
Yeah, now, for me, I need to put it out there. Right, and again, this is... It might be my Chelsea bias, but... I watch him week in, week out, right? And I honestly think he could be right at the very top of this list, eventually. But I haven't seen a better footballer in terms of doing the basics right for years, and that's just generally in the Chelsea squad, not just because he's from Cobham or anything like that. He's a Chelsea boy through and through. None of that. I just think he's out of all the footballers I've seen, he does the basics so well that it just seems so effortless for him. And this Trent and James debate can go to bed. It should just go to bed because he's not... He's just a better player all round. I mean, he can fill like three or four different positions. Centre mid, he can go right wing back, right centre back. He's got it all as a footballer. And we need to tie him down into a big contract for life because I generally think he's going to be probably the next captain of Chelsea as well. I'd give it to him anyway. The only thing, he seems a bit quiet, but by example, I think he's got it. I can't say anything more. His delivery is perfect. He makes the right decisions. There's only a couple of times that I've seen, and these are like pre-season games where he's like maybe scored an own goal or something. But I've rarely seen a mistake from him. I don't know if he doesn't start in the World Cup, there's only one other player that can probably start above him. And that's just through pure experience. But, this James is just an unreal player.
If you're talking about that player of experience, I think they should both play. And play five at the back.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I agree with everything you said. The only thing with Reece James is everyone else on our list has played double or more the amount of games. That's it, really. But yeah, every time I watch him now, I think when he first started, he was a little bit naive positioning. So I remember like the FA Cup final, for example. Aubameyang had a lot of joy on that side and stuff, and Maitland-Niles as well. But this last year and a half, he's been Chelsea's best player pretty much every game that I've watched.
Yeah.
When Kante's been on the pitch, he sometimes has been. But yeah, most of the time has been Reece James. He's a quality player. He's only like 21, 22, isn't he? So he's got a lot of years left. He also doesn't rely on pace, really. So it's not like that's going to drop off a cliff, I wouldn't have thought.
No, exactly that. And the other thing I was going to say is when I was saying about Trent, about I can't see how in years to come he's going to maintain what he's been like for the last couple of years. I feel like Reece has got the mentality to keep on driving him through. I mean, he's done it in Wigan. And when he was at Chelsea, there was doubt. He had to fight Aspilicueta, our club captain at the time, to get in his position. He's already had like a major injury as well, and he's come back stronger. I can't see him deteriorating in terms of his ability because it's just the basics he does. He doesn't do anything flashy. He's not out there trying to play a Hollywood pass like Trent. He just tackles at the back, positionally gets in the right position to receive the ball and put those balls in the box. And his link-up play sometimes with Mount down that wing as well is unreal. So I can't see how, because he doesn't do anything, he doesn't rely on anything flashy or, like you just said, speed. I think he's only going to get better through experience. But yeah, it does sound like I've just picked up the number one person on this list. But you're right. I think because the other people above him have so much game time and won, that's the thing. The other thing goes against him. He hasn't won the Premier League yet. He can't really be number one without even a Premier League medal. But I'm hoping he'll get a load of Premier Leagues in the coming years. But yeah, I think Reece James is definitely worthy of being on this list.
Yep, agreed. Be interesting to see where Dylan's got him, actually, and a few of these other Chelsea boys as well.
Just on Reece James, I actually have to say now, he didn't make the top 10 for me. I'll be honest.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. I know. I think I agree with your points 100%. I think he's, as of right now, better than Trent. I don't even agree with the discussion. I think as a whole football player, he's just so much better than Trent. The only reason he didn't make the top 10 is kind of the point you mentioned there, Jack, that he just hasn't played enough. And for me, in terms of just Premier League, he just hasn't done enough just yet. So, yeah, do you know what? I'm absolutely gutted. Now we're talking about, I'm absolutely gutted. He didn't make top 10, but yeah, he just missed out, unfortunately.
No, I get it. I get what you're saying, though, because performance-wise, I think he's done it in the Prem, but to really make a stand, he has to win a Premier League medal, I think, at least.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, like a year's time, couple of years' time, I'm sure he'll be the top five. I really do. But yeah, and I agree. I think he's going to be the next Chelsea captain. And if he stays at Chelsea for his career, I'm sure he'll be spoken with the likes of John Terry, Frank Lampard, John Brooks.
100%. Yeah, definitely. He's already started the legacy within Champions League. But he won't rub it in, Jack. He won't rub it in. Right, so what's the next one? What are we on? Is it
number seven?
Yes. What's the next one?
I've gone to Andrew Robertson. Just think he's a solid football player. To be fair, I think he's just unreal for like you said. I think fullbacks are so important in the modern game. Liverpool have been absolutely smashing it last couple of seasons, and without Robbo and Trent, I just don't believe they would have done half of the things they would have done. You know, PFA Team of the Year, 18, 19, 19, 20. The reason he's only seventh, I don't think he's that great attacking wise. He's to be fair, he's got like around 50 assists or something like that, and a few goals, but I think defensively he's probably up there, one of the best on this list. But attacking, he doesn't do too much for me.
Yeah, I think with the way that Liverpool play, yeah, I don't know if he can necessarily get forwards right, because Trent doesn't exactly go to the byline and stuff, but they do seem to play more down the right. But yeah, defensively, yeah, Robertson is well up there, isn't he, in the league at the moment. There's only going to be maximum a couple that are going to be better than him at the moment defensively. But he's my sort of fullback, to be honest. Like, can do both. He's got the passion. He's a bit of a twat, but at the same time, if he's playing for your football team, then
you love him. Yeah.
You love him.
He gives me that nowhere near it, but he gives me that Diego Costa vibe. Like you said, if he's playing for you, you love him. If you're playing against him, you hate him.
Yeah.
Every team's got one. Oh, Dele Alli was the one. I mean, to be honest, he's shit now. But I mean, at the time when he was at Tottenham, I hate Alli. I proper hate him. But you can tell why Tottenham fans loved him, because he used to produce some of it on the pitch. And we had it with Diego Costa, Luis Suarez. I think Robertson is their player now with that bit of grit. He's just a bit more tame, I think. But he knows how to wind people up. But yeah, I agree. I think he's a quality player. And funny enough, we've got him next on our. So we've got him at seven. And yeah, I think he has only won one Premier League. And I think that's probably why we've put him there. But he's... Obviously, I'm part Scottish, so I watch Scottish games, right? So when I see him in that lineup, you know, coming out for international games, you see his face is all like determined and fucking like ready to go and break people with the legs. I don't watch enough Liverpool games, but I can imagine him being exactly the same for the Liverpool team. And he's got that bit of grit about him on the pitch and wants to win. And that's what you really want. And I think you're right, though. In terms of attacking, just refer back to Scottish football, I think Kieran Tierney's probably better than him at that. But the defensive play, I think he's a lot better, Robertson. So, yeah, I think he's worthy of being in this list, definitely. So, have I just gone and skipped to R7? Or was that R7? Sorry, I'm terrible.
No, we got the same. So now we're on to Dylan 6.
So,
I've gone Ivanovic. Funny enough, we were talking about him earlier on. I'll put him sixth. Just same comments we were saying earlier, really. Just I'll put him a little bit higher. Like I said, I think he's criminally underrated. And yeah, top six for me.
Yeah. No, we can't really much say much than what we said earlier on.
Yeah,
he is a top player. For us, we've gone for we've gone for Aspie, haven't we?
Yeah. Similar sort of.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's my Chelsea heart is telling me no, it should be higher. But I think that there's two sides of it. Aspie, the player for Chelsea, as in, you know, from a Chelsea perspective, someone who it can play literally across that whole line. You know, left, he played left back, right back, centre back, does it all, right wing back. I don't even, he might have even played left wing back. But he's on the list purely, for, you know, for that fact, but he's won Premier League medals, he's been a captain, a leader at Chelsea. But I still think he's got a bit of a mistake behind him, and this may be going against him, because how old is he now? He must be about 33, 34? If not, it just seems like he's a bit old. In the sense that his legs don't take him far enough on the pitch. I think he always lags behind. You always see Aspen Equator blowing after like a 5 meter run, 5 yard run, sorry, trying to tackle someone. And it's, I don't know whether I'm just blinded by the last three or four seasons he's had at Chelsea where, you know, he's had to compete with some fast wingers in the Premier League and it's not really helped his case. And obviously with Reece James being so good taking this position, and he's always been fighting for his position, so he's always been like, you know, when Felipe Luis, when he came on board, just he was going to be that the number one left back, and then obviously Aspie filled in. Ivanovic, Reece James, you know, we've always had someone there, and he's just been like the utility player that we've needed. However, when he has jumped in and done the job, I think he's been, and he's done it properly, he's one of the best players on the pitch. I think it might be Jose again, keep giving Jose quotes, but he say something like, if you had 11 Aspen equators on the pitch, you'd win the Champions League. But I might be chatting shit there. Is that as a Dan quote from Fergie or something? But
the Fergie one was, if you had Zidane 10 blocks or what, you'd win the Champions League.
That was it. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Jose said something similar about 11 Aspen equators or something. But yeah, I mean, you can't deny his passion as well when playing on the pitch. He leaves it all on there, whether it's good enough nowadays in the Prem, where his legs are going. But you can just tell he puts it in and he gets up with your goal here and there. I think, Jack, we went to a Chelsea-Arsenal game, didn't we? And I had to be really quiet in the Arsenal win. He scored against you. Was it the FA Cup?
Yeah, it was like his debut or something like that as well. It was
the
League Cup game.
Yeah, and he lobbed, was it Lehman? I can't remember what he was in goal for, but yeah, he lobbed him. And I think from there he just carried on quietly gone on with his business until the last couple of years where people have actually started to respect the shift he's put in. So Aspie, yeah, he's six, but, you know, could easily interchange with the top, you know, top two or three, the two or three above him.
Yeah, he's like your typical, you hear it with a few, 7 out of 10 every week, but he was also given a lot of 8 and 9 out of 10, you know, when he was right in his prime. I think didn't he go, because he's a right back, isn't he, really? But there was that season under Jose where he's a left back.
Yeah.
And I remember Jose saying something about him, yeah. And he definitely said he was the best defender in the league at that point. And yeah, it'd be hard to disagree that season.
It was the biggest deal as well. 7 million from Marseille.
Mm.
Something like that. Ridiculous. For the output we've got, 7 million. We'd be spending 62 million on a similar kind of player nowadays, which we have.
Yeah. And also Spanish defenders as well, like, not typically they've done very well over here. I can't think of any others until, you know, very recently that have done anything. So he sort of stood out from everyone else on that side as well.
Yes, good shot. Yeah, I can't think of any Spanish defenders. Who did you have? Yeah, is that Nacho bloke?
Do you know what? Monreal was like, he was quite similar to Aspilicueta, but just not as good and not as physical.
Oh, so not similar.
But, well, yeah, he was quite, I mean, he could play centre-back as well a little bit, but yeah, he wasn't. It was just not as good, basically.
Well, on that Spanish point, I must admit, I don't think Aspilicueta is your typical kind of Spanish defender, especially fullback. Have that flair. I think for me, in his prime, 1v1, he was the best defender in the league. He'd never beaten. I just thought it was just unreal. But then, like you said, you don't really see that in Spanish defenders, and maybe that's why he's done so well and others maybe haven't in the Prem.
Yeah. Isn't there a stat? Again, I might be butchering it because some of these stats I get off bloody Twitter, so I might be a load of bollocks. But isn't there a stat like he's never been sent off or something along those lines, or he's never made a mistake leading to a goal? Like,
oh, but them things are a bit like
dodgy. Yeah,
Van Dijk's never been dribbled past in about 10 years or something. Apparently.
Yeah, that's bollocks. Absolute bollocks. Yeah, don't get me started on that. All right, what's the next one? Then we are on still in six, or again, Jack, I think you lead with the numbers because again, I'm crap with numbers.
Yeah, Dylan's five.
So I don't think Jordan's going to like me for this one, but I put Trent number five.
Oh no.
Yeah, I think although I was saying like James is the better football player right now, I just think you can't not look at what Trent's done for Liverpool and, you know, winning them the league, well, not him himself, but being part of the team that won the league. Yeah, like you said, his passing is probably best in the league. I think it's got 45 assists already. Another one, he hasn't been sent off, just talking about red cards. PFA Team of the Year, 18-19, 19-20, and 21-22. I just think the last couple of years, he's been the best right back. And yeah, for that reason, he's this high up on my list. Just unreal. I think he's changed the right back role for me. I think Reece James is better now, I think Trent kind of made that right back role kind of his own and kind of changed the modern fullback for me.
No, I get it. I get it, man. I think I've got a bit of bias to Chelsea here, but I mean, He is a top player. I think he's, you're right. I think he did make that position his for those years, 100%. And again, I think he was kind of neglected in the England team as well, a bit.
Yeah.
Which probably didn't help his cause because he was doing it for Liverpool in those years that Liverpool doing well. I think maybe my judgment might have been clouded a little bit by, you know, over the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think it's also similar to James in the sense of, I think if he carries on with this form and stays in Liverpool for his career, people will speak of him as the same as Gerrard for me, if not higher. You know, he's got the league now as well. So, you know, we were talking about James being up there with John Terry. I think Trent is easily, if he carries on, up there with Steven Gerrard. Liverpool fans.
I agree with that. Although, to Jordan's point as well, it does rely on Klopp being there, I think. Because Trent is very much a system player. But to be, they almost build the system around him. And it's very rare you do that for a fullback. So you've got to be something special. But yeah, I think at what he does, he's the best. But he's not got like the versatility and the kind of well-rounded game of some of the others. But his actual, if you want someone to kind of, you know, be in possession, dominate, playing that high line that they do, and just ping balls to the wingers, putting really good crosses and stuff into the box. I don't think there's anyone better at that.
Yeah. One thing I would say about Trent is, like you just said about the system, and this is maybe not about Trent, it's just generally that those types of teams. Do you feel like, I've seen it this year already in the Premier League, I feel like them systems are getting sussed out. So those high lines, those players that are playing in those wing-back positions, they're getting marked out of the game quite easy. You have to play really well, like in that position, to actually make it effective. And I think the way the Premier League started this year, I think it's given some food for thought for, you know, how it's going to develop over the years. Because I feel like we've seen it with Tuchel at Chelsea, he's now saying I'm going to revert back to back four again. And like Arsenal, like you've seen how well they've been doing in the Premier League, where Zinchenko, all right, I personally don't think he's up as good as people make out to be, but he plays, Jack, am I right in saying he plays like a left-back role, but he tends to move into like the centre-mid position?
Yeah, it's what we do is normally, so we'll normally have one, and it does tend to be the left-back, we'll tend to have one quite forward, and then we'll basically have like three centre-backs. Because Tomiyasu is basically a centre-back. And it used to be Tomiyasu and Tierney used to bomb up. And we'd kind of tuck in and let them do their thing in the midfield. But yeah, he's basically been a midfielder so far in the teams that we've played this season.
So yeah, my point being is that will those, like bringing in James into this equation and Cancelo, all that position become redundant in years to come? Like, will that change again? Seems a bit, and I'm saying it's a bit bang in the middle of the podcast, but it seems a bit like people starting to suss it out. That's my overall point, but it'll be interesting.
I feel like some of the best, like the young footballers now, will actually want to play
in that position
because of these guys. It's actually cool to do. Whereas in the past, it was.
You just put
the person that couldn't really play that well out there a lot of the time. Obviously not when me and Dylan were. That was an outlier. But yeah, that's what tends to happen. But now people actually want to probably look up to these guys and play out there.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Right, so we're number five now, right?
Yeah.
Our five. It's your favourite pundit, Jack.
G-Nev.
Yeah, Gary Neville.
Yeah, he is a 7 out of 10 anyway. That was the thing that everyone always used to say that about him. Yeah, I mean he's got the trophies to back it up. He actually started off as centre-back as well, but he was too small, so he got put out to right-back, and yeah, he was good. He was solid. He was dependable. Nothing majorly flashy about him, but he did the business, really, week in, week out. And he'll be the most successful by trophies player on the list. But I never felt like he was the best in the league, though, at any point. But he just did it for so long.
He's reliable, though. He had that position covered, but no one was coming in. And obviously he had someone on the right side of that midfield that was never going to come back and defend, which is David Beckham. And Beckham, all right, he would try and put a tackle in here and there, but you'd just be sitting out on that right side, playing in beautiful passes and crosses. So, I think Beckham wouldn't have had the freedom he had if it wasn't for Neville on that right-hand side. But yeah, just, I heard something today from Simon Jordan on TalkSport. He calls him the Mayor of Manchester because he's all now involved in politics. It made me laugh, man. It's just the way he's trying to get involved in everything. Gary Neville, pundit-wise, entertainingly, but in terms of on the pitch, yeah, I think he's he's worthy of a shout on this top 10, definitely. Number four then, what you got?
Number four, I've gone Kyle Walker.
Shout.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought he was great for Tottenham, to be honest with you. I'm not a massive Tottenham fan, but I thought he was one of the best at the time. And moved to City and just absolutely smashed it. You know, taking over from Zabaleta, who's also on the list. And like I said, City fans probably look at Zabaleta as top two, if not the best. And to replace someone like that and, you know, kind of make that position your own, yeah, absolutely smashed it. And he'd just been doing it for years.
It's probably good you mention his Tottenham days, because, like, obviously he's got the trophies at City and stuff, but when he was at Tottenham, they, I think, especially under that Poch season where they come third in a 2-horse race and then they come second to you the year later, he was like their third best player. It was Kane and Dele Alli, weren't it, at that point. But after that, you were looking at Kyle Walker as kind of the main man in that team. And he was playing at such a high level. And that's when he kind of broke out. But he's been about for years, isn't he?
He's another one that's gone under the radar. Not under the radar, but like...
It's because he's not flashy, though, isn't it?
He should be talked about more. Like, he does his job. He does it well. And I think, I know everyone talks about his speed, but his speed is, I think is underrated as well, even though people talk about it. That man's got the ability to get back, like, from 50 yards, you know, if he plays 50 yards in front of him, he's fucking unreal, like, the way he can get back and tackle. And, again, his crosses and his ability to shoot as well. It's been pivotal to City winning the league. And he's held that position down. They've not had to go and get a right back for years now, have they, City?
Yeah.
It's always been... I don't even know who their backup right back is. That's how good he is. He just kept in that City team for years. And, I think this is the play you alluded to, weren't you, earlier on, about England playing Reece James right back and then right centre back, or vice versa.
Yeah, you summed it up there. I think, I think in Southgate trusts him, don't he, more than probably anyone else. I think he's probably the first name on the team sheet.
Probably. Right, we've got next. So down to our last four. So Dylan, hit us with number four.
No, that was his four.
Oh, shit, that was your four. So this is why cut that bit out.
So our four is Patrice Evra.
Great shot. Absolutely unreal.
Yeah, he had that fight in him, but he was good. He was good one on one. He's got the trophies as well. And I mean, you can kind of tell from him as a pundit and stuff now. He was definitely one of the leaders in that dressing room.
Yeah, I saw him recently on this thing. I don't know if any of you watched it, but you know that Wim Hof
ice?
Yeah, and he's got like some... He's apparently, I don't know if it's from his childhood or something, but he's got something about like pushing himself too much. So on one of the challenges, you have to stay in this ice cold water underneath like an actual ice. And he was under there, and they were like, get out, and he was just staying in this water because he just wanted to push himself. But one of the things, this show was about overcoming your fears, overcoming, like poor personality traits that you have and all that stuff. One of them was obviously over-competitiveness, wanting to do better, just competing against himself, basically. And in this icy water, he was trying to stay in there, and it wouldn't be good for his health, but he was just pushing himself too much. But he was saying, like, even when he was on the pitch, he'd want to win all the time, which is really a trait that you need to be a winner. But he's taken that beyond football, I suppose, and that's where he needed a little bit of help. But I think the personality as well in a dressing room, I mean, I love him. I think he's a quality bloke. you know, that thing, I love this game. But he's another Manchester player that's gone to, did he went to West Ham as well. So, I mean, first season, I don't think he blew us away, but as he grew into it, he made that position his, and he was almost the equivalent to of that time. He was competing with probably our number one, which we'll allude to. But I mean, he was part of the 08 team, wasn't he? In Manchester, which we've deemed one of the best teams. Of all time, really. So he's a quality player, and I don't know whether he had many caps for France or whatnot, but I think he just was in the France team that didn't do much.
I think he might have, he probably come in just around the time of when all the big players were retiring, like Zidane and stuff, because I think potentially that World Cup final that they were in, Lizarazu might have still been there at that point. It was another absolutely quality left back. I don't think he had the best of times with France. But he probably got a decent amount of caps, just was in the wrong era for that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's our number four. Right. So, down to the bottom three then.
Here we go, top three. Number three, I've gone Azpilicueta. Top three for me. Similar points to what you were saying, really. Absolute bargain at 7 mil. Just an absolute legend at Chelsea. I just think, like you said, he can do it everywhere. Right back, left back, right wing back, left wing back. Just, you kind of made the point, like you said, 7 out of 10 every week. And I mentioned that, I think, in his prime, 1v1, no one was beating him. I honestly believe that he was the best defender in the league at that time. And yeah, just a legend. Just an absolute legend. I thought top three, yeah, spot on.
Yeah, I feel like we've done him a bit of disjustice, but I was a bit hesitant, Jack, I'll be honest, when in terms of like the amount of Chelsea players we've got in this list. I didn't want you to come across like I was being a bit of a dick and just
be
like,
honest, I just think it's how certain teams like rely on their fullbacks a bit more though. Like I'd have loved to put some Arsenal players in here, but they've just never been like
used
anywhere like, near the most important, I suppose. Yeah, whereas some of these lot just are, especially the modern teams. So
I think when we get to the final list, I think Aspie's gonna have to move up a peg or two. I think.
Yeah.
I'll be fine in his corner. Like you said, he's won it all. He's got to be higher.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Our number three.
Our three, yeah. So we just talked about him before. Kyle Walker.
Not much more we can say about him, really. Is what it is. Listen back a couple of minutes. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have anything more to add, Jack, but yeah, I just...
No, but I'm interested to see who this number two is, because I can imagine we might have the same one, but I don't know what this is going to be.
Is it going to be a shocker?
So number two, I've got Evra.
Oh yes, he's not been mentioned yet. Okay,
I've got Evra. I just think, like you, all the points you made, just absolutely spot on, and I think he also played in that era when it was a bit more. It's dirtier, let's say. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't think he got any red cards. So just that little fact alone, that's pretty impressive. But yeah, everything you've already mentioned, just an unreal player. And he's top two for me.
Yeah. I'm assuming you've got the same number one.
So our number two, you won't have him on because I think you sort of alluded anyway when at the start of this podcast that it's sort of people that you'd seen in their prime, I suppose. So our number two is Dennis Irwin.
All right.
This guy was, I suppose, a bit like Gary Neville, but better. So Gary Neville was your sort of typical...
sorry, I think I'm just... That fucking line, so much like build-up. When you say Gary Neville, it just sounds shit.
Yeah. Oh,
Gary Neville.
If you're calling Gary Neville a sort of 7 out of 10 every week, Owen would be an 8 out of 10 every week. And I think Fergie said that he's the only player that would be guaranteed to be in his best 11 of players that he's managed. So, you know, the likes of Rooney, Ronaldo, stuff, they're not guaranteed a point, but Irwin is, and yeah, he could just do it all. And the fact that he's right foot as well, playing on the left, like, he could have potentially been even better if he plays as a right back. But yeah, he's just all round game. Probably say one of the first full backs in the Premier that was like really attacking and, you know, got goals and free kicks and things like that as well. But yeah, just one-on-one as well. Absolutely solid quality player.
Yeah, no, he was a good player. He weren't that tall as well, was he? I suppose he was an average height for a wing back, but back then I suppose it was a bit rough and tumble, wasn't it? And he held his own. He always reminded me of Roy Keane at a defensive position. Just the way he looks. Nothing else.
Yeah, they're both from Cork as well.
Are they?
Yeah.
So there you go. But he was a quality. He was a good player. But again, another one that doesn't really get talked about as well. Because he's not a fancy player, you know, he never really gets talked about in. But you know, when you see like all those Twitter polls and whatnot, and he's not really in that, is he? In that discussion some of the time. So It is a shout, and that's probably why we put him there. But moving on, to number one, Ashley Cole. I kind of blew it already, but I mean, Dylan will tell you, this guy, I mean, I didn't expect him. When we brought him, it was all that Ashley Cole stuff, blah, blah, blah. I thought he'd be a decent player, but not to the level that he was at Chelsea and in world football. But I generally think he was the best left back in world football. That, you know, his ability to tackle and just get back and forth and get up and score some goals. I mean, I don't think he scored many for Chelsea, I'll be honest. But the way he got into those positions, played the ball over, cut it back to Lamps, Lamps' traditional late runs and whatnot. But, mate, he was unreal. Unreal. And I still goes beyond me that, you know, Arsenal letting go for 5 million.
Yeah.
Madness.
True. Oh, yeah, we're talking about goals. He actually got Chelsea goal of season 2010, the one against Sunderland, I think, over the top, touched it and put it in bottom corner. So, there you go.
I remember that one.
Yeah. I have to agree. I think the best left-back that's ever played the game. I know you talk about Roberto Carlos and stuff, but for me, Ashley Cole's the best that's ever played the game. Honestly.
Yeah. Honestly, he's that good. And Jack, obviously, you know yourself. You know from his early years. And it hurts you, mate. But you might want to say something.
It does, yeah. Just the way he dealt with Ronaldo, though, as well. Like, not you didn't see anyone else get anywhere near him. But whenever he came up against Cole, he always had problems. So, yeah, this was... I mean, I don't think you'll find anyone disagreeing with this shout, to be honest. This is probably the easiest pick out of the lot in terms of where to put them and stuff. And also, sort of going back to, you know, the point about Fergie picking Irwin and stuff, and he's the only guaranteed one in the team. I think Cole is one of the only guaranteed players that you would put in a Premier League all-time 11 as well. I think a lot of them are up for debate, but this one's not really at left back.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
And, you know, the off-the-field stuff, obviously, he bagged Cheryl Cole. And he managed to get... he took an air rifle into Cobham and shot a youth player. What a guy. Quality stuff. But, yeah, man, that's... I mean, Cole... Again, though, he was quite short. He weren't tallest, was he? He must have been about 5'7", 5'6", or something. But just the way he was bombing up and down the wing and dealt like he just said, dealt with Ronaldo, he wouldn't have none of it. And he would give you, like, like, he'd be one of those players that pinch you during a game and shit like that. He had a bit of old school but modern about him as well. So yeah, what a top player, and worthy of number one. That's not changing, that one. Number one is obviously staying as it is. But Jack, if you want to run through the lists that we've got, and then we could somehow, I think this is a bit of a odd one, this one, isn't it, at the moment. There's a few, few we can match up, but a few that is a bit out of place. So it'd be interesting how we've come to a final
this
one.
This could be trickier than I thought to Carlton would join one, but we'll try our best. But yeah, Dylan, if you want to sort of just remind everyone of your 10 to 1.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so I'll put number 10, Leighton Baines, 9, Lauren, 8, Zabaleta, 7, Andrew Robertson, 6, Ivanovic, 5, Trent Alexander-Arnold, 4, Kyle Walker, 3, Azpilicueta, 2, Evra, and number 1, the best left-back that's ever lived, Ashley Cole.
Go on, Jack, you do it.
Number 10, Trent. Number 9, Ivanovic. Number 8, Reece James. Number 7, Andy Robertson. Number 6, Azpilicueta. Number 5, Gary Neville. Number 4, Evra. Number 3, Kyle Walker. Number 2, Dennis Irwin. Number 1, Ashley Cole.
Right. So, clearly, the first thing that sticks out to me is Trent is halfway on Dylan's list and number 10 on mine. And I might have done a bit of disjustice. The other thing we mentioned was Azpilicueta as well. I feel like I've done him a bit of disjustice as well. I don't know about you, Jack. Because, put it this way, he has played either side of the pitch as well. You've got to put it that way. That's a major thing. He's won everything as well. And he's done it. I mean, has he been around since 2012? So, I think actually today...
A little bit, I think. Not massively, like, a little bit, yeah. I think he should probably be a little bit high. But, yeah, do you want to start at the top then and kind of work down?
Yeah. All right. So you're talking about number one?
Yeah, well, we've got the one, yeah. So
one's obviously Cole.
Yeah.
So two. We got Irwin.
Well, to be honest, I'm happy to concede this. The only reason he's not in, I didn't watch him, to be honest. And I haven't really seen, I don't think I've ever seen him play a game. But the way you two are talking and the things I've obviously heard about him, I'm happy to put him second. I'm happy to concede that.
Sweet. That's second sorted. So, Cole Irwin. Third, you've got Aspi. We've got Walker.
Yeah, we've got Evra second. And we had Evra fourth. So, that's kind of in the middle, I think.
So, we say Evra third?
I'm happy with Evra third, yeah.
So, this, I think the next two... See, I think Aspi and Walker, but it's the order. What order would we put them in? Because when you said Aspie's a disservice at six, I agree a little bit, but not.
Oh no.
Yeah, because not in the top three, but yeah, I think you can probably definitely go above Neville. Does he go above Walker as well?
Am I taking my Chelsea bias off? Maybe.
I think that's maybe what's blinded me as well, being a Chelsea fan. I put Azpilicueta over Walker. I'm happy to turn it off and put Walker above him, you know. Turn the Chelsea bias off for a sec while we make this list.
I think you're right. I think, go on. I'll turn a blind eye. Pretend I'm not looking, Jack. Go on.
All right, this is falling into place then, because I think naturally, so we've got Walker 4, Aspi 5.
I think Neville goes next. I think
Neville 6. And then you've got...
This is where it gets different. Because
this is where it gets tricky, yeah. So you've got the likes of Ivanovic, Trent, Robertson are the ones that's in both of our lists.
I think we've got Trent next for me. I think, like you said, out of those three, I think Trent's better than Ivanovic and Robertson. Much as I don't want to say
Robertson better, but than Trent because he's more complete. But yeah, I don't know. There's definitely an argument for Trent being the better actual football player as well.
It's kind of like what you said. It depends on what you want. I think, like you said, you like quite the old school defender to defend, and you're choosing Robertson. I think if you want that. I do just love Trent. I think he's one of the best. I think he probably is the best passer on this list. And just he's for Liverpool. I just think, honestly, he might go down as up there with Gerrard and one of the best Liverpool players to ever play. So for me, I'm going to give a shout to put him seventh, if that's all right with you boys.
I think, yeah, I mean, I'm pro James that all way, even now, even for this. But I think if you're going to put it down between Robertson and Trent here, yeah, if you just say who was more pivotal to that Premier League winning year, you've got to say Trent, anyhow. Because Trent got some vital goals in that Premier League year. And ultimately, Trent has won a Premier League over James as well. And Trent, his assists and his goals as well, Matt contributed massively to that Liverpool squad. So I think Trent at seven makes sense. Don't know about you, Jack. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'll probably look back at what I was saying about Trent in that title winning side. I would have been absolutely raving about him, saying he's the best thing since sliced bread. So, yeah, I'm happy to have him there. And then we've got... So, I think we've both got... So we've both got Robertson and Ivanovic in there. Dylan's got Zabaleta, Lauren. I mean, yeah, should we just deal with the Robertson and Ivanovic first? Because I guess they'd be the next two in some way.
Yeah. It's a hard one, isn't it? I suppose Ivanovic won more Premier Leagues, I think. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I think so.
And Ivanovic was... It's a different profile player, I'll be honest.
It's a good one.
But I think we did mention with Robertson, he did have that lack of... Or not lack of, but... He doesn't have a balance with his defending and attacking in terms of... But it's not... 50-50. You would say maybe his defending's a little bit more than his attacking, where Ivanovic was, I personally think, was more balanced with both. Would you agree? Or?
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Like I said, he started as centre-back, so defensively it was never really a problem. And the size of him, you know what I mean, he could get himself about. And the fact someone like that did get so many goals and assists and important ones, I'd have to agree. He offers probably a bit more 50-50 than Robert.
Are you, Jack?
Yeah. Let's have Ivanovic at 8, then, and
Robertson at 9.
Robertson at 9, yeah.
So that leaves James, Zabaleta, Lauren, and Baines. Now, I can see James purely for the fact there's shitloads of Chelsea players. 1, 2, I understand the point that he hasn't won any Premier League medals, and it's only the last 2 years, I suppose, or year and a half, I think, Jack, you said, that he's really coming to his own. I'm just going to be a little bit more patient, I think, before putting him up to number one. But if you're happy, boys, we'll probably take James out for this one, just for that pure fact he's not won a Premier League medal and all the things we discussed.
Maybe it was a bit of recency bias, because I think at the minute he is the best, isn't he? But yeah, he's not had the games, probably.
Yeah.
I suppose if you look at someone like Zabaleta, we'll see won 3 Premier Leagues.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, and he's won it all in English football. I think a couple of years' time, we'll be talking James a lot higher up, and it won't be a discussion to get him in top 10. But yeah, unfortunately, just now, I think he misses out.
Yeah, if he's listening to this, he'll have that extra motivation to go up, which he might have. If he passes the pod on, then
Nice. I'd love that, mate. I'd love that. The end of the Premier League season, like Clive Tilsley asking what motivated you to win the Prem. Just this podcast I'm listening to. All right. I think for all those names, out of the three that we've got left, Zabaleta, Lauren Baines, I think it's a given, personally, that Zabaleta wins that one. But
I agree, 100%.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have done a top 15 for this, because I think all those names that we have mentioned that just missed out are really good.
Yeah.
And then there probably is a little bit of a drop off after that. So yeah, but yeah, I agree. That sounds like a good 10, definitely. And yeah, probably more kind of players in the last 10 years, as we were sort of saying at the start, that's when probably fullbacks have been doing a bit more, but yeah, you can't deny the quality of like Colin Irwin and stuff as well. So, yeah. So if we run through our final 10, then so we've got at number 10, Pablo Zabaleta, number 9, Andy Robertson, number 8, Branislav Ivanovic, number 7, Trent, number 6, Gary Neville, number 5, Aspilicueta, number 4, Kyle Walker, number 3, Patrice Evra, number 2, Dennis Irwin, and number 1, Carl.
Good man, said it right.
Solid list.
Yeah. See it. 100%. And I think you're right, Jack. I think some of these have been pioneers in that position where kids are now wanting to play in that position. So it'd be exciting to see who's going to come through. And you know, I've seen that Arsenal have got a couple of decent youth players. Some right back that you've got at the moment in your youth academy.
Norton, Cuffy.
I mean, we've got this player called Ian Matson that I've seen a couple of times at Chelsea. Currently on loan at Burnley, and he's absolutely mustard. Got a bit of a temper on him, but he's a quality player. And obviously, likes of Livermento, and you know, there's loads you can list them off. Palace just got someone, Richards from, is it Bayern Munich? Yeah, there's loads of players that, and it's not just what we're finding, especially Chelsea fans, is you don't necessarily have to be a defender to play in that position. You know, you could develop in that position as a, you know, if you were playing a right winger or a centre mid, you can literally put anyone in that position at the moment and they can shine. Like we've seen with Ruben Loftus-Cheek, players that, you know, you wouldn't expect to play there end up doing quite well. So it'd be interesting to see who does develop in the next coming years and whether that position still stands or changes again.
Yeah, I think, but yeah, as you say, I think some of these lot that are playing nowadays, yeah, if we were to do this again in a few years, yeah, we'd have a much different 10, or at least the people further down would probably be a lot higher up. So yeah, it's good to see fullbacks getting a bit of love these days.
Just for you too.
Yeah, Dylan, top guests. Pleasure having you on. Wasn't as much as of a Chelsea loving as well as I feared, so that was good as well.
Definitely get him on for a Chelsea one. There you go. You'll be smothered in it, Jack. Smothered in blue.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Thanks for having me, though, boys. I've really enjoyed it. Cheers.
No problem. And before you go, you got anything you want to sort of plug or?
I don't, mate. No, just listen to this podcast and Reece James, if you are listening, I love you, mate, and keep it up.
Sure he is. Sweet. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And of course, remember to keep it.
No.